Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because you don't blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? March.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. And messed around, he saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what happened is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt. I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week. 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year, and we have cold winters here, folks, under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions. And that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills. And then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now, I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively. And you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
Thank you, Robin. I went on a rant, but I had myself on mute. Okay, thank you, Robin. So let me start all over again. All right. Start with uno. That was inspired by Robin earlier this morning. Start with one. But when you start with one, typically that one person has two hands. So Lamar Alexander built that solar cabin by himself with two hands. So we know, he's not the only person that's done it, but we know that one person by themselves with two hands can build a solar cabin. All right. And most of the people that are listening to this podcast, you can do that. And even if you don't have hands, there's a way you can do it too. But that's another podcast. All right, now.
So I was thinking, you know what? Because I'm going to measure wealth in a completely different way now than dollars and cents. Hand wealth. How much hand wealth do I need to build a house? How much hand wealth do I need to organize to pay off a car or pay off anything that you want or to buy an airline ticket? How many hands do I need to organize to achieve whatever particular goal that I'm after? So we're gonna take a look. We're gonna play Nine Friends for the gazillionth time, but we're gonna take a closer look at hand wealth today, because that's where it's at. The more hands that you can get involved, the quicker you can achieve your goal. So we're going to take a listen to Nine Friends once again, and we're going to break that down.
I'll say some shit to y'all that I seen yesterday that made me smile, but it hurt me to my heart. There's a house next door to me that's been abandoned, and the yard, the grass, high as hell and everything. There's a couple of abandoned cars out there beside the house. Well, yesterday I get off work about 7 o'clock. A Mexican guy pulled up. He said, "These your cars?" I said, "No." He said, "I just bought this house, man." I said, "All right, that's what's up." He was like, "You know whose cars it is?" He said, "No." He said, "Well, I bought the house, not the cars." Okay, I'm like, cool. I'm thinking he's just coming to look at the house. I go back in the house, do a little straighten up. I swear to God, I walk back at the house. Now, I'm getting off about 7:20. It's fucking 9 Mexican trucks just pulled up. They got fucking beer, lights, and shit, right? So I'm like, what y'all finna do? He said, "We finna fix this house." I said, "What kind of crew you got working after 7 o'clock? He said, "These my friends." The fucking house is fixed this morning. They went in there and drywalled that fucking house. Wow. I just left out of there. It was a fucking abandoned house. That bitch looked new this morning. Whew. It was an abandoned fucking house. And it looked new this morning. It's an old African proverb. Many hands make light work. I just don't think they're better than us. I just think we won't do nothing together. Wow. You're not hearing what the fuck I'm saying. It was an abandoned house yesterday at 7:15. That bitch is new this morning. He bought a tax lien house. I can't wait to see what they do. I can't wait to see, is one family gonna live in there? Is they gonna, I'm going to get to know the motherfuckers. You best believe me, when I make some money, I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring us together. And I'm not fucking with a lot of people.
Okay, let's break down the audio, which I call Nine Friends. All right, one person, that one person, we're assuming they had two hands. And the term I'm putting out there that I will be using quite often from here on out, is hand wealth, H-A-N-D, hand wealth. Instead of measuring wealth in terms of dollars and cents or euros or pesos or shillings or whatever, hand wealth. That's universal around the globe, hand wealth. Because that's what it comes to anyway. What are two hands going to do? All right, so with nine friends, it started off with one person. All right, that's two hands. Now, he called some of his friends up, and they pulled up to the house in 9 pickup trucks. So let's assume that there were at least two people in each one of those pickup trucks. All right? 9 times 2 is 18. All right, so 18 people, and let's assume each one of them had two hands. So 18 times two hands each, that's 36 hands. Oh, hold on. Let me make sure I'm right. Yeah, 9 trucks, 2 people in each one, that's 18 people times two hands each. That's 36 hands, and let's add his two hands on, the guy who bought the house. So we're talking about 38 hands. 38 hands. That what was needed to turn that house into something that had been sitting on the block for years, neighbors looking at it every day, driving past it every day, but he gets together with, and those 38 hands, or let's subtract his two. So that brings you back to 36 hands. That's better than a Bank of America line of credit. It's better than any type of home equity loan. Anything will come from Wells Fargo or any type of finance company on the planet. All right. So we're going to start measuring wealth in terms of that. Now, this week's stats. Last week, we started a Suzu, four of us, the $200 Suzu with four people. We did a radio, today's what, Wednesday? We did a radio show on Monday. And then that radio show, we got, and that's with a challenging phone system, but we managed to harvest at least four people. So we started with four a week ago. On Monday, we netted four. Now, we probably had more than that. That's all we netted, but that's good. So we got four, so we doubled our hands. We had, four hands times with the original group, Suzu, me, Willie, Robin, and Delmar. That's eight hands, if I'm correct. Yeah. Four times two is eight. Then on Monday night, we were able to double that, 100%. So we're up to 16. If I'm correct, eight times 16. So we're up to 16 hands within a week. Within a week, we're up to 16 hands. All right. So we have a meeting this afternoon, another teleconference at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, adjust for your local time zone. That'll be 3 Central. Now, let's see. What do I have on my program notes here? All right. Everything starts with one, or really two if you got two hands. I just gave the stats. We started with a four-member Suzu, Abiding Faith Housing Ministries radio program, doubled that to four, so we got 16 hands now. Now, this afternoon, we'll figure out the number of hands we're probably going to need to build the structure and then where we're going to build the structure. Now, Delmar mentioned this to me yesterday, and we know with more than like with the 9 hands video, he had 38 hands available. Now, those 38 hands, let's try to put an optic on this. Some of those hands were, let's say, on kitchen detail. Now, I'm just imagining it the way I'm thinking it could have went. All right, I'm just thinking out loud. You got 38 hands, all right? So you got, the other day I said you had probably about 2 to 3 on KP duty, kitchen duty, because you need, out of that 38 hands, let's say you got people that are preparing refreshments and meals. You got to keep your workers hydrated. You know, when they get thirsty, And let's say they put in eight hours on site. And it's like two of those hours, you know, they were eating food, stuff like that, resting or whatever. All right. So 6 hour hours of working. So, all right, out of that 38, and I'm just thinking out loud, people can press one and give your ideas on it because I'm just one person. I'm just two hands. Okay. I'm just two hands. All right. I'm figuring, all right, I'm updating what I said last week or whatever. So out of 38, all right, let's say they had two meals prepared. They prepared probably a light lunch during the middle of, you know, because they were working overnight. So a light meal during the middle of their work day, a work night or whatever you want to call it. And then a heavier meal at the conclusion of the renovation. Now, they finished up around breakfast time. So let's say that crew, the KP or the kitchen crew, prepared a nice breakfast for people to start the day. Because some people probably, you know what, I did this overnight, I got to go to work. Some people, you know, I'm just speculating. All right. So, and you got to figure they had snacks and prepared. And then if they needed stuff overnight, let's say, at least two people on the KP crew that could make a run to Walmart in the middle of the night, if it's a 24-hour Walmart or a grocery store that's open all night or 7-Eleven, some convenience stores that's open all night, where they had to go get some snacks, okay? More than likely, they're coming there with everything they need up front, but just in case, they have two people on the KP crew that are runners, all right? Two people that are on the KP crew that are runners, all right? Now, let's say they're preparing, matter of fact, you know what? I'm going to open up my mic here. And anybody who's had any ideas, this 619-768-2945, press 1, because we're thinking out loud here. Now they got snacks available, snacks and hydration available the whole work shift, 8 hours, okay? So that water, Gatorade, Kool-Aid, whatever people want to drink, except for alcohol. No alcohol during work hours. And I don't recommend, you know, when they finish up before the breakfast, don't break out the margaritas for breakfast. This is overnight. So no alcohol. So they got, you know, and some people can't handle it. And this is the worst time to find out if a person can't handle their liquor when you're doing a renovation. So no alcohol. All right, so they have the liquids and all that, granola, trail mix. Try to have healthy snacks. You know, no donuts. Maybe you want to have that at the end of the day, but. Or it'll be morning when, you know, breakfast time when we finish all this. But during the work crew, let's say healthy snacks, trail mix, granola, whatever people like. And, of course, you know, water and whatever, you know, Gatorade or Kool-Aid or whatever, you know, Hawaiian punch or whatever people, you know, want to bring. Punch with no liquor, people. All right. So you've got two runners. And then you might have, out of 38 people, now I'm just speculating here, I'm going to say your KP crew, including your two runners, let's say about six people. Now, out of that six people, you might have four cooks. Two of those four cooks are prep people, and two, you know, actually make this forget. Well, Robin, if your mic is open, Robin, what would you say would be a light meal for 3 to 4 hours in on this crew? What would be a light meal? Nothing heavy. If you're there.
Sandwiches, dinner food, fruit, you know, and then also bring your own lunch, actually. It's like, you know, people have to furnish their own lunch when they work.
That's true. That's an excellent idea. If you have any dietary concerns, bring your own thing. Okay. Bring your own thing. But for those who are not going to bring their own lunch or whatever, which will be the majority of people probably, you know, I think everything you suggested, finger food, sandwiches, cold cuts, what do you call those trays with the a vegetable tray? Those things, and once again, people, I'm just thinking out loud. You can tell this any way you want to make it. Now, all right, so I'm saying about 6 people for that out of the, you know what, I'm making this, I'm going to make this real easy because we're doing, I want to do round numbers. Out of 38 people, you got 8 people on your KP crew. That should be more than enough for your runners. In case something runs out, food-wise and material-wise, too, those runners could be used for food, refreshment, and materials if you need it during that overnight world. So that's 8 people right there, KP, and 2 of those people are runners. All right. Now that leaves us with 30 people. All right. And then, of course, you can divide them up based on the number of rooms that you're renovating, and then the steps that you have to take when you're doing renovations. Some people might need to scrub down something or chip off paint or make doors or build a wall or paint, whatever, but you got 30 people. So 8 people for KP, including 2 of those people, are going to be your runners. If you had to go to the grocery store or they had to go to, like I said, if there's an all-night Walmart or grocery store or whatever, you got your runners there for whatever. Or somebody forgot something at home, those runners can go to that house, pick up whatever they need. And so that's 8 people out of the 38. And then you got 30 people to work it. And that's how I see those 9 pickup trucks. That's how I see it. Robin, how do you see it, if you see it any differently?
Well, you know, I think that's pretty spot on, you know. And then also, too, if they, like, prepackage the servings and set those out and maybe have bottled water chilled so that people could dispense it, then that would cut down on the number of bodies and people standing around just waiting to serve. Because when they're not serving food, they'd otherwise just be sitting there doing nothing. So.
Right. So that's an excellent idea. And, of course, a lot of this stuff, people, is as you go along, you're going to tweak your system. You know, but I mean, if like, say, you have a – let's say they went around and they did one of these a week. Okay. Then they would tweak – now, I'm starting out thinking out loud, 38. But they might get to a point where, you know what, they just need half of that amount, maybe 16 people, maybe – 18 people, maybe 20 people. You start out with 38 and you set up, and then as Robin stated, you know, you prepackage stuff or whatever. So out of the 38, maybe some of them can go back home, catch some sleep, and maybe not, come back for, you know, the – now, I'm just suggesting it doesn't have to be this way. But like I say, you have snacks available the whole process. Number two, you have a break in there of about an hour where people can have a light meal. That can be sandwiches or whatever. And then in the morning, in the conclusion, when everything's done, have a heavier meal, which will be breakfast. If a person wants to have a heavy meal, it'll be available. A heavy hot meal, it'll be available. If you want something continental, you know, pastry, donuts, that's available too.
If you get a community garden, that you could get food from the community garden to supply the food to the stores for the meal. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
And you could also make a community-based business with that by making it a distribution.
Now, Rob, you sound kind of muffled. You sound kind of muffled. Are you on speakerphone or something?
Yeah, hold on.
Okay.
Is that better?
Oh, yeah, much better, much better.
Okay.
So now repeat the last thing you said.
Oh, I don't know.
you mentioned something about the community. We were talking about food.
A community garden could be the source of the food for the meals. And
right,
it could also be, and a community garden could also become a community-based business. You can make a whole food distribution and a restaurant out of that if you wanted to. And actually, you can have a food distribution system without, or just consider it a distribution system without even having a garden. Okay, so basically you have your group of people in the community and somebody can cook something, they can cook meals, and then they can take orders, and then if they don't have a car, well, someone else in the community go and pick up those meals and deliver them to whomever. I mean, there's all kind of ideas that that you can do. When it comes to feeding the people, you're right on with that, because before Jesus attempted to teach the disciples, anyone, before he healed them, before he did anything for them, he first saw to their basic needs. Were they hungry?
Right.
Did they need healing? Did they need housing? Like that. And the majority of the time, it was easily solved because he fed them. That's the common ground.
You know what? It's interesting that the one miracle of Jesus that is mentioned in all four Gospels was the feeding of 4,000, in one case 5,000 plus in another case, That's the only one. So food, that's a big one. Got to feed people. And his first public miracle was, well, when they ran out of wine.
Yep.
It's interesting that those two miracles revolve around food. So that's one thing,
and
we
then,
shall mention Monday
and
night.
And then also, you know, you can ask the people that are building and participating, you can ask them to contribute to the food as well.
Exactly. Two more hands. Matter of fact, there's a lot of hands on the planet.
You know, all hands on deck.
All hands. That's what I'm saying. The new term I'm using is, the way I'm measuring wealth from here on out is hand wealth. How many hands can you organize?
And all hands on deck. So if you look at a ship, everybody that's on the ship, technically, like I'm talking about the ones that go out to Alaska, right? Now, when everybody on that ship is actually a crew member, and they
right.
have a position and a function that they do, and that function is maintained 24 hours around the clock. They may not do it physically. They might do it 8, 12 hours with a 2 or 3 man crew.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, and depending upon how many tasks you have to complete. But so when they say all hands on deck, they mean that, like, there's a storm, rocky water, whatever. So when they say all hands on deck, they mean get up. I don't care if you just got off work. I don't care if you just worked 16 hours. You know, I don't care if you were asleep. I don't care if you were drunk. All hands on deck. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See.
Matter of fact, Robin, let me read this. Go ahead, Robin. I'm listening.
Well, people will, hands will come and stand there just to look around. So you want to set the expectation.
Yeah, heck, get them on deck. Delmar mentioned something to me yesterday.
Delmar's on the line, too.
Oh, okay. Well, hold on, Delmar. Wait a minute. He mentioned something about Kingdom Hall's Jehovah's Witness. So I'm reading mm-hmm. something off the line. Jehovah's Witnesses build. Now, this is just one example. They do this a lot of this. Jehovah's Witness built a Kingdom Hall in one day. All the labors was done by volunteers, volunteer church members. It was a miracle. With 900 pairs of hands, $60,000 in donations, and a month's worth of planning, a group of Jehovah's Witnesses built an entire worship hall, which she called Kingdom Halls, in this Outer Banks beach town in a single day. So some do it in a day, some do it in 2 days, some do it in three. But imagine, like I said, Lamar built his house in 14 days, 14 consecutive days, but that's just with two hands. So once you plan it and get it organized, and as Robin brought up to me yesterday morning, despise not the day of small beginnings. Last week we had four people. All right, me, Willie Hudson, Delmar, and Robin. Then we did a radio program, Abiding Faith Housing Ministries, on Monday night, and we doubled our number. We got four brand new people. So mm-hmm. that's 16 hands.
So we want to give that complete scripture, okay? The day of small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices when the work begins.
Read that again, Robin.
Despise not the days of small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices when the work begins.
I'm glad you read that last part, because I needed to hear that last part, because it might be it might seem insignificant. When you brought that up, I looked at, oh, the four people completely different. We doubled our number in a week. Anyway, Delmar, if you're online, the mic is open for you.
Well, think about the female egg and sperm. How visible is that? How big is that?
It ain't. It's microscopic.
Yes, sir.
That multiplies. How many cells in the human body? Is billions or trillions? Let me look that up. How many cells in the human body?
I don't know.
I'm going to look that up right now. Number of cells in human body. Okay, adding up the numbers, scientists came up with give or take, the person, of course. Ballpark figure in the average human body, there are 37.2 trillion, not billion, trillion cells in a human body. So, Delmar, it goes back to just two microscopic cells. You can't see it with the naked eye.
Remember, God and matter is 1 + 1 = 3.
Right. Well, like I said, we started off with 4, then it multiplied, doubled it by 100% to 8. We're at 8 now. So, we got to do some more detailed planning today at our, time that everybody knows, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's just for the 4 Susu people, no new people. And because we don't know what it's going to jump up to next Monday. It'll multiply by how much, I don't know. But we need to be prepared for that. So that's the plan that we'll do today.
Mm-hmm. And remember, God described growth back from creation. He never told him to add. He said multiply. That's the term he used. Not add.
Well, it's just like you said, we've multiplied so far. Week one, we doubled it. So it's going to multiply again this coming Monday. So that's what
remember that we have no idea how many people encountered that busy signal
and couldn't get through to us.
So that's I can't wait for next week.
That's what I said. Today, when we do our conference call, the four of us, including Willie, we need to plan for that. That needs to be planned, because we know it's going to multiply. Even if it's another 4, that's 4 more than we have now.
Yeah, we need to plan for that, and we need to put out calls to action, ads, text ads, the Facebook groups, Craigslist, eBay,
Etsy,
wherever else, Marketplace, Etsy,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we need all of this evening's conference call,
call. We also need to make an Amazon seller's account, and then we can list the houses for sale there too. Another market. The more markets that we can put ourselves out in, the better. That will not be spreading ourselves thin.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right. Yep, it does.
Yeah.
Hey, anybody?
I'm glad you brought up that sperm and egg. The two microscopic cells.
Anybody remember the 10-a-day double analogy for 30 days?
I'm familiar with that, yeah.
The 30th day, I think, is 5 million or something like that.
Yeah, if you take a penny and compound interest, yeah. Right, so... That's amazing, man. Two little cells multiply to over 37 trillion. That's a lot of cells, man. Basically, everybody's a trillionaire.
Take advantage of that momentum that's always been precipitated.
You got it right.
Yeah, and we will keep that momentum right on going, okay? We will take advantage of that. Yep, and follow the same
principle. Matter of fact, I'm glad the call went the way it went Monday, because let's say 40 calls did pop up. I mean, we would have adjusted for it and everything, but. Speaking for myself only, I'm glad it came up, you know, the scripture, despise not the day of small beginnings. So that made me take a look at, you know, what we started with. And then, like I said, with those four calls, and I was able to reach out to I've had at least one conversation with each one of those people. Let me give out the stats. We had four people that reached us Monday. There were more that tried to reach us, but we had communication problems with the station on Monday on their end. So before that got through to my phone, all right, the first two callers were black women, all four from Jacksonville, Florida, boots on the ground, number one. All four were in a vehicle when they heard us. Three were in cars. One was in a pickup truck. So the first two were women. And then the other two were men. I only got the age, because I didn't ask for age. One just, in conversation, he just volunteered his age. He was like 68. The others were younger than that. I guess they were like 20, 30, something. 40, I don't know. I can't, you know, over the phone you can't tell. But so they're all boots on the ground, all Jacksonville. Two of them, actually three of the four, are definitely interested in tiny houses. And the guy in the pickup truck was calling about some home renovation that he had. And I got to get back to him on a possible referral for him. But those are so we doubled our number. We know that we're listened to at least the first week. Everybody heard us when they were driving around town. All right. And we know, I think we can probably safely say since they were all probably driving, they all had two hands. Although there are some people that can drive with one, and they only have one, but so we have, and actually we might have more than the four. That's four that called in. Now, one of the four, the guy in the pickup truck, he's a married man. So in his household, you got four hands. I don't know the status. I didn't ask. He just happened in the conversation. He just mentioned, you know, he was married. So, you know, we might have more hands than we, you know, we see on the surface. But we know we, bare minimum, we doubled within a week just off that one broadcast, that one went out. And really, we weren't even on for the whole hour due to phone difficulties. So, small beginning, but it's a good beginning. So that's my rant on it. Anything else from you guys?
Not for me.
No more. Okay.
No.
Robin?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Then I'm going to play what will be going over anyway, the $200 cabin. So we're going to add on our stats and what we need to do to prep for, you know, this project, Boots on the Ground, which Jacksonville, Florida.
Well, hey, folks, and welcome to Solar Cabin Channel. I've got a neat little project for you. I call the Multi-Shack. This is one of my homeless housing solutions designs. And some of you probably don't know this, but I was homeless twice in my life. The first time was when I was trying to get into college, and I had lost my job and was waiting for my college funding to come in, and so I had to live in my truck. I lived in the cab of my truck for almost 2 months while I waited for my college funding to come in. And then again later in life when I got divorced and didn't have a job and was trying to get off grid, I lived for almost 2 years in a camp trailer. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, homeless people that have their pride. They want to maintain their independence. They don't want to live on welfare. They don't want to be caught up in the system. And, you know, all they need is a simple shelter, you know, someplace to get out of the cold, to get out of the wind, to get out of the rain, while they get back on their feet. And so I know there's a lot of organizations out there that are helping the homeless, churches, nonprofits, and things like that. So I came up with this small structure design, which I call the Multi-Shack, because it has actually multi-uses to it, and it can be built very affordably. You can build this entire shack for under $200, and it is built on wheels. It can be put on either a 4x6 trailer, or you can build it on casters. Casters are a lot less expensive, but it still allows you to move this unit around. So you could store, you know, a bunch of these on a church parking lot, and then just when you need them, you can move them out to wherever you want the person to be using them. Casters are 4-inch casters. Each caster will hold up to 240 pounds, so they'll more than handle the weight for this structure here. Now, this structure is 6'5" from the peak to the bottom, 6'5", so and even a tall person can stand upright inside this structure. The door is 1'6" wide and about 5'3" to the peak up there in the door. And the structure is 4 foot wide approximately and about 6 foot long. About 6 foot long by 4 foot wide, 6'5" to the peak. And this is constructed very inexpensively from 2x4 framing, which I'll show you, and uses, I would use 7/16" OSB or plywood. Either one would work for the siding on this. Now, a couple of the features here. I show this with dorm windows. The dorm windows are actually optional. You don't have to put dorm windows. You can just go with a flat roof surface if you want here. I show this with wood shingles, or you could use just plain old tar paper and roofing shingles. Any type of roofing shingles would work on this. Show it with a little flower box there just for effect. And on the backs and the front, I show this with these round windows, like boat style windows, or you could put square windows. Either one works. I just like the effect of the round windows, the look of those in there. This does have an access panel on the back. Down here is an access panel. We'll just open this up so I can show you. Open up, take this one off. There we go. Now you can see inside the access panel. Underneath the seat and bed is storage, lots of storage underneath here for a propane tank, one of those Port-a-Loo porta potties, an ice chest over there you can see. Okay, so there's good storage. This is about 18 inches high inside here and about 4 feet wide inside. So the structure, I'll show this with the door open. Let me just hide this door here. With the door open, you can see I've got this set up. Right now I've got it set up for seating. During the day, this would be used for seating purposes, okay? And I'm going to pull the side roof off here so I can show you inside. But this has a very nice space for a person that maybe is going to school or working, or just the table can be used for eating or whatever. So you've got approximately 6 feet of space on the inside here by 4 feet wide. And this table is actually part of the bed platform, which I'll show you. You just pull the 2x4 out, put it in one of these slots. It's in this 2x4 here. There's another one on the other side. You just drop the 2x4 into the slot, and then you take your bed panel and put it up on top of that, and then that becomes a table. Here you've got 2 foot by 4 foot cushions. There's three of these cushions that become your bed, or you can use a roll-up mattress pad underneath this that becomes your bed. But during the daytime, it becomes seating. It becomes a little mini couch in here, 4 foot wide. And now you've got a space for a student to do their studies, their work, or for having your meal, or if you're working on a hobby or a craft or something like that, you've got this nice little space. When you get out the door, you just lift the table up, put it back, put the 2x4 back in the bottom slots, put the table down, and then you turn it into a bed. And I'm going to show you what it looks like as a bed, too. So good headroom in this. I really like that it's got a very good space. This is an average person, 5'8" tall. You can see you've got lots of headroom here. You've got these nice dormer windows, which would give you lots of light, and also gives you a little bit more headroom up in this area right in here. A 6 foot person could stand up in the middle of this quite comfortably. Two people could actually share, sit side by side on this couch, or you can pull your ice chest cooler out, or someone could put a foldable chair on the other side here. So you could actually have two people sitting side by side or crossways next to each other here. So lots of space in this little place. So let me show you what the framing looks like on this first. And I'll just have to zoom in on this. Now this is all done with 2x4 construction to keep it inexpensive and easy to build. And then I would sheathe it with either 7/16 inch OSB or plywood. Either one would work. Now, it's got a floor frame, as you can see, made of 2x4s down here. Simple 2x4 frame, floor frame construction, and then your casters attached to the corners, not exactly in the corners, but they attach to the floor framing. And the casters have locks on them, so once you move this in place, you can just click on the locks and lock it in place so it won't be rolled around while the person is inside it. Now, this is the bed platform, and it has this back platform is two foot 6 inches wide, and it is permanently connected. These are 1 foot 9 inch wide platforms that can be raised up, and as you can see, these 2x4s right here, you put the 2x4 up in these other slots, and then you put these panels up on top, and they become either a table or a workspace. This one can go up here. This one can go on the end. It can go over the middle. So I gave you lots of options for the ways that you can organize this into workspace or living space as you need to use it. Very simple construction. Takes about 20 2x4s to build this. That's about it. Looking at about under $200 for all the material costs. And you could build one of these in a day. Seriously, you could build the complete unit in about a day. And now I'm going to show you on the inside how this can be used as a bed and also as a small business. So I'm just going to click off this. Okay, now I show this with the bed down. The door opens so you can kind of get a peek inside here. Now, this is an uninsulated structure. You really don't need insulation in a small structure like this because the human body puts off about as much heat as a 90-watt light bulb. So in a small structure like this, your own body heat will actually heat it up. And for sleeping, you can either do these pads like this as mattress pads, or you can just get a sleeping bag pad or even an air cushion pad to go underneath it. A sleeping bag pad would work fine because you can roll it up and use it as your seating. And a good heavy-duty sleeping bag would be all you would need in order to sleep very comfortably in here. As long as you don't have the wind blowing on you or the rain drenching you or snow piling up on you, you'll sleep very comfortably in a small structure like this. Your own body heat will heat it up. You could add a heater to these, but it really isn't necessary in these small structures. So I'm going to pull off the side roof, and I'm going to show you how much space this has inside it for a bed. It actually has a very nice bed that will sleep either one or two people. Pull this off here. Just hide this. Now, this has a 4 foot wide by 6 foot long bed. So even an average person can sleep in here. Even a tall person, fairly tall person, could sleep in here comfortably without being cramped. And it's 4 foot wide, so that's a very wide bed that will actually sleep two people. Two people could sleep in this space, all right? And it's 6 foot wide, and it's 4 foot wide and 6 foot long. This person I show in here is about 5 foot 8 inches tall, which is average height for most people. And here you can see the slots I was talking about. These platforms, which I'll show you, I'll take the bed off now. These two platforms are removable with 2x4s underneath them. You just take the 2x4, you put it in the slots that go across here, and then put these platforms up on top to make your table. And you can actually do a table on either end or one in the middle for a desk and table. Now, the ones on the ends I'll show you are used if you want to run a small business out of here, or if you want to organize this in a different way so that if you're cooking, you could put one of these tables on this end or on this end, and you could set up your cooking supplies, and you know, you can take care of yourself. You can cook a meal inside this little place right here. So 4 foot wide, 6 foot long bed, and then very adaptable with these platforms of 2x4s. You can just put them up, and you can reorganize this any way you want during the daytime for whatever function that you're going to be using. Again, it has storage space underneath the bed and seating. You've got that nice access panel for you. You've got storage underneath there. And I really like the space in here. This would be enough adequate space if in an emergency, let's say that a city has a disaster, a fire like they just had in Canada wipes out all these homes, or you have a tornado tear through a place, or you have flooding or something like that, which we've all seen in the news, happens all the time, and suddenly churches are overrun with people that don't have housing. You know, if you had a bunch of these sitting around that would sleep at least two people, you could pull these out in a small area. You could set these up, and people would at least have shelter for, you know, survival until they can get into houses or shelter, bigger shelters or something like that. So that's another use for this type of structure here. So now I'm going to put the bed back on just to show you. And again, you can see this has really nice dormer windows. So you got really good light in this. And it's got an excellent sleeping space. It would be better for one person, but it would be adequate for two people. Okay? And, you know, if you got little teeny kids with you, you could put, you know, one adult and a couple of kids in there, too. You know, there's enough space in there to sleep comfortably, and you've got lots and lots of headroom. You're not going to bump your head or anything while you're sleeping. Doorway, 1 foot 6 inches wide, 5 foot 3 inches to the top up here. So lots and lots of good space in this. Now I'm going to show you how this can also be modified to be used as a small business. Okay, one thing I know about people that are homeless is they're also very creative. And, you know, a lot of them actually run little businesses in order to support themselves. A lot of them do recycling. They recycle cans and bottles and other stuff like that. Or they pick up small appliances and stuff that they may find on the streets, or books, or pictures or whatever, and they resell them, and that's how they support themselves. A lot of them are also very crafty people. They may make jewelry, or they may make wood crafts or something like that, or they may be artists. And so they have a way to support themselves, and so I think we ought to encourage that, because that helps them to develop sustainability. Not everybody is equipped to work in the regular workforce. Some people just aren't. But they're very industrious and can support themselves with a small business. And so I thought, well, this shack could also be used for setting up a small business. So what I did is I made this so that the window here can be hinged up. And I'll show this. The window on one of the dormers, or both, can be hinged up out of the way. And then you've got room here to put a sales counter or little platform here where this person is 5'8" tall. A person can stand in this window and they can operate a small business. They can talk to customers, they can take money or whatever, working right out of this small shack. Now, this doesn't necessarily have to be for homeless people. If you wanted to run a hot dog or hamburger stand or sell your crafts or your books, or, you know, whatever you want to do with this, maybe it's a ticket stand, I don't know. This little shack could be very useful for a lot of different purposes. That's why I call it a multi-shack, is because it can be used for many different purposes. But this would be great for a homeless person that has a craft that they make or recycle products or whatever. They want to sell them. They just hinge up the window, and they set themselves up a little business here to take care of customers. Now, this also shows inside how those tables can be reorganized. Here you can see I've lifted up the bed platform to put a table on this end, another table on this end, and you can use this for cooking in here. You can see I've got a little two-burner propane stove that you can set up on one of the tables up there so you can do your cooking. You can work on your crafts. This table just lifts off, a 2x4 lifts off if you need to get access to the door. Lots of good headroom, okay? Workspace in there. This can be modified many different ways for many different people of however you want to use it. So a very functional space in there. All right, so that is the multi-shack, all right? And let me just then hide this so you can get a better view of it. Again, can be built very inexpensively, around under $200 on casters, more expensive if you put it on a trailer. And I'm going to provide these plans for free, because this is a project that I designed specifically for churches and nonprofit organizations to build shelters. And at present in the U.S., we have about 1.6 million homeless people that just need a simple shelter to live in. Or that's about 1 out of 200 people. And that's just in the U.S. There's a lot of people in other countries that are in even worse shape. And I really think a project like this would be great for helping the homeless people to have shelter while maintaining their independence and their pride. But it could also be used as disaster relief shelters. We could easily have a major disaster in a city where we have thousands and thousands of people that suddenly are homeless and we need to provide quick shelter. These would also work for that. It would be big enough space for two people to sleep and, to take care of their basic needs. And that's what this structure is about. So I hope you like this design. It's called the Multi-Shack. You can get the plans for free on my website, simplesolarhomesteading.com. Up at the top, look at Multi-Shack. Now, there is a button there if you would like to donate. Your donations are used by me to design structures like this and build small houses. I work with a lot of homeless people that don't want to be in the system, that want to build their own off-grid cabins and houses and places like that. I help them with designs and building those projects. So any donation, if you can donate, is very appreciated and will help with those projects. All right, folks, I hope you like this project called the Multi-Shack, and have a great day.
Okay, and I just had a pleasant surprise. I was messing around on my laptop. I wasn't even expecting it, but now you can listen to our live stream blogs on YouTube. I looked up and I saw It's My House TV or DIY Housing TV, and we're on live right now. So, Robin,
I told you.
Robin,
yesterday.
Thank you. You did.
Yes, sir.
You did mention
yes,
it, and I wasn't even thinking about it. And I looked up, wait a minute, what's this on YouTube?
You're live on YouTube.
We're live on YouTube right now. So,
yes.
And
Roku, and Apple TV, and the app on IM Streaming, available in your Google Play Store and Android. Check us out.
On IM Streaming. Well, Robin, give your, all right, for people who need help with their mass communication, their mass media, because you're the queen of this, how can, what services,
well, Robin,
do you offer and how can they reach you?
They can, Robin. You can call me at, let me see, 866-446-2246.
Okay.
Anyway, would you help me with that right now while I'm handless? Can you copy that and send that? I'm not even getting it. It's one hand not working right now.
Robin, text that to him, and I'll text it to Delma.
Thank you.
All right, I sure will.
Thank you, dear.
All right, yeah, I'm looking at it still. Yeah, I was, because I'm on a laptop and a smartphone, so I was looking over at my laptop, and like, what's this, live? So I said, all right, Robin. She hooked it up. So, people, if you need media exposure, I highly recommend Robin Lynn Maven on that. All right, so that's it for today on my end. And then we have a 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Central. What time in on the West Coast? Well, anyway, that's for us anyway. It's just for four of us anyway. No new people allowed on that one. So that's,
okay.
That's the good. Delbert had something. I mean, Delmar, you had anything else to add?
I said peace, blessings. See y'all later.
Okay, all right then. And I'm just waiting for my outro here. Boy, it's like I'm discovering Blog Talk all over again the way Robin hooked it up. All right, on that note, see you guys tomorrow and see the team on conference call at 4 p.m. today, Eastern Standard Time, just for your local time zone.
Okay. That's it.